Celtics get it done again, Bob.
You still think they can go all the way?
Well, why the hell not?
Well, why not us?
But that, well, why not us? Indeed.
We've already used that one in Boston. Come on.
Was that?
Some fresh material from Boston, please.
Where do you have any allegiance in the National Basketball Association?
No, I've sort of ummed and ahed. Oh, and
commit, will you? You've got the Titans. Is there a Tennessee basketball team?
No, well, who would be closest to Tennessee?
Why are you looking at? We haven't even introduced him yet. You can't just pose him that question.
Because I'm not an old broadcasting pro like you.
Dave Thornton is the man you just desperately turn to there, who is our last outsider for 2019 and has declared during the outbreak is something of a basketball aficionado. Hello to you, David.
Eddie, good to see you. I've been sitting in this chair for about 60 seconds and Murph has already looked at me like, bail me out.
I'm in the hot seat. Tennessee, help.
It was a real hot seat.
You've got a map of the United States on you.
It'll be the Memphis Grizzlies would be the closest.
Think, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I'd say from Tennessee.
Why don't you go with them? Well, Are they any good?
The Grizzlies, not at the moment. Got a promising rookie.
That's okay. I'd rather sort of jump on, you know, at that time more than the sort of, you know, that Andy, you know, his flight stopped over in Boston 15 years ago, and would have you believe that he's Larry Bird.
I was born on Beacon Hill.
are you then Boston through and through, Andy?
Well, through everything? And through. Yeah, I was over there in the late 80s when the Celtics were pretty strong.
Of course.
They'd been through, they were in the middle of but the other mob, the football team were rubbish.
Just prior to when the Patriots started cheating and everything.
No, it was a long way before that. Their big wide up was a guy called Drew Bledsoe.
Yes.
They picked up with the number one pick in the NFL draft. He was just a wild quarterback. He threw it 65 times a game, but threw about 4 interceptions. And
wasn't that the whole story? Because he got injured, and then Brady was the backup.
That was it.
Brady's like, well, cracks knuckles. I reckon I'll be here for the next 12 years.
That was a bit of it.
Like, oh, okay, what happened?
Give the young kid a go.
Yeah. I'm going to keep playing until I get a supermodel. Let's go.
Right. So you give me your basketball CV, because Bob's very keen to talk up his basketball prowess out in D grade Coburg.
You have come back today fired up, flexing.
No, I want to know whether there's a bit more meat on the bone of Thornton's basketball prowess than yours.
Well, mate, this burgeoning friendship between Bob and I started just at the back of Northcote Plaza on a half court where, you know, Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson here from
That's
White
right.
Man Can't Jump.
We okay, really tell we need that story.
Threw the rock up.
Go on, tell us the story. What happened?
We just play one-on-one.
We met
the two of you.
For cash.
No, we don't. There was a cat.
Yeah.
It was the start of Night Shift. Have you seen Night Shift? Remember the movie Night Shift?
No, I haven't.
Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton. Yeah.
No, I like Henry Winkler as the Fonz, and that's all.
Prostitution.
Oh,
anyway. No, let's break it down. We won't go there now, but it starts with a basketball shot being made. And
okay.
The bloke's playing. Someone's old enough to remember Night Shift, sure.
I don't know what lines you're drawing between what Bob and I were doing in the back of Northcote
Plaza.
We
just played one-on-one, mate.
Someone's
basketball court.
That's what we tell our wives.
So how did that come about? You two playing half court against one another?
We started hanging out a little bit, and then we started talking about basketball, and he plays out at Coburg. That's where Murph does his magic.
Yeah.
I'm at MSAC, big leagues. But
you're a lefty, aren't you?
I am a looping lefty.
But Dave can play. You can tell. You can tell with a golf club. So as we saw the other day with Corey Homicide, as soon as he picked up the club, you're like, nope,
no idea.
Well, as soon as Dave picked up the basketball, I was like, yep, he knows. He knows how to handle it.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I only turned 40 last week, so I'm distinctly on the other side of the hill
with
any skills. Thank you, mate. Well, this has been my birthday present, sitting here in the hot seat with you guys.
The outsiders, I don't know whether has anyone worked you into any understanding of what we do here? We take people who love
the
game.
That's a good question. You don't want
love the game,
yes.
Or games that we talk about a lot of.
Sure.
And we get your perspective on the ones that we, the insiders, spend all our time talking about.
Okay.
So you up for this?
Yeah,
you're a Geelong. So you're born and bred in Geelong.
That's exactly right.
Yep. And you are a Cat.
Yep. Yep. Grew up
since birth?
Yeah.
Forced upon you?
I wouldn't say. Yeah. Well, yes. Not from my family, admittedly. My parents are both immigrants. They couldn't quite understand what was going on. But then you just go down to Cadinia Park, as it was then, before they realised you could sponsor everything.
No, still Cadinia Park.
Yeah. And head down there, watch them play. Robert Scott was the player that I liked, just because he had a flat top.
Flat top.
He was one of the first.
One of the great flat tops.
Yeah. Number 8, he used to charge through. When he went to North, it broke my heart. But so I grew up with obviously, yeah, with Geelong.
Well, you would have been very much on the outer. Did you actually have number 8 on your jumper?
No, I didn't, actually. My parents never got that, but I had to have 5.
Very few would have had Robert Scott as their, with all due respect to Scotty, there would have been very few Geelong supporters your age back then who would have had Robert Scott as their favourite player.
I mean, I remember growing up too, it was that thing of just getting a number on the back of the Guernsey was quite, it's not like now, they just iron it on while the kid buys it and you just walk out of the store.
It was a real commitment.
It was a real commitment,
To have it stitched in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to have that.
What number did you have on
it? I had several. Started with 10, Adrian Gallagher. Then number 20, Jeff Southby. Then number 37, Wayne Harms. That might have been the last one I've had on, but
Did you have multiple numbers? Did you graduate from Gary Senior?
No, never really. I mean, now, you know, you buy them and dime a dozen. But no, as a kid, that was kind of it. It was the very much, well, there you go.
Did you ever have a go at stitching your own number on?
No.
You never tried to do that yourself?
No.
Oh, it was a shocker. I did 37. What a... If you ever have 3 or 8, don't ever take that on board, particularly the 8. There's a lot of work involved in stitching an 8 onto the back of your jumper.
This is what when they said, when you're coming into SEN, know your stitch craft, because they're going to talk about it.
This is cross-stitch hour brought to you.
Andy Mart, you'll never see a seam come unstuck.
Dave, this is our second last show for the year. To say that we have wound down is a serious understatement. A serious understatement. Did you like Geelong's a scary out of all the great suburban grounds that we had the privilege to go to, people of my vintage.
Yes.
Yeah. They were still, you know, in play back in those days.
Yeah.
Kinninia Park's as scary as any ground. And
really?
They don't like getting beaten Geelong supporters and they turn quicker.
On their own or
on opposition. On umpires and opposition players. The Geelong fans can get very, very narky very, very quickly.
Yeah,
they're not as violent as it.
They're
not as violent as Essendon and Collingwood supporters back in the day.
Yeah.
But they could get very, very snaky.
I agree. Like there's still one stand remaining. I think it's called the Gary Ablett Senior Stand. And one that is still a bit gnarly.
Like is that the one behind the goals? Is that the one that hasn't quite been renovated yet?
Yes. That's exactly at the city end. Yeah. And because it's a city, mate. Don't look at me like that. Okay. But that's
the municipal end. Doesn't have the same. The shops end.
The shops end. The milk bar end.
Milk bar end. That does annoy me, though, because the V-line is an hour away, and you get this venom, this viciousness that permeates out of that ground. And then we go to the MCG. It's a finals game and everyone's like, better watch me P's and Q's. I'm like, what happened? You know, I've been there at games where it's been 50-50, but it sounds like 80-20. Mm. All these Geelong supporters go, it's a big smell. I don't know what to say anymore, you know?
I'm away from
the milk bar.
In the era of lost grand finals, did you go to those? Which one is the one that...
I didn't go to them.
You didn't go?
But 89 was obviously the one. That was the one where I genuinely looked at grown men, heartbroken.
So you would have been, 10?
9 years old. And then I was like, this is something, you know. And seeing the streamers everywhere and seeing the whole... Because the whole town is enveloped by it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get that up in here in Melbourne. You get a pocket of it, but you don't get the whole thing.
Yeah, right.
And we had been so rancid through the 80s. Like, people forget that. We were just mid-80s. It was just nothing to go on about.
Mm.
And then by the... By Carlton, was it 95?
Yeah.
I remember by then I'm a teenager. I was round at a friend's house. We're all 15 or so. At halftime, we went kick to kick and we just didn't go back in. We didn't go back in to watch the
talent. Well, you've been torn apart by West Coast in 92 and 94. So
yes.
You're taking a battering. And you ran into some super teams.
They would have been underdogs in each one of those.
They were favourites. It's crazily enough.
What? In 95?
They were favourites going into the ground.
Really?
It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, Carlton won 15 straight going in. Or 16 straight. And for some reason, Geelong was favourite going into that game.
That Blues team is one of the all-timers.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, great. And we were just these offensive juggernauts, I think. They just came through and scored. But then, you know, as it got a bit tighter, it's all like, oh, geez, what do we do?
Great team to watch that one.
Yes.
We'll dive deeper into this in a moment, but... Given the fact that neither of you has actually seen Night Shift and has no recollection of the movie at all, Paul, Pete and I are just going to have a chat. Well, you two just sit back and have a listen, all right? Paul's in Barossa. Two people have called. at the mere mention of the movie Night Shift and want to just have
it's
a chat
Night
about
Shift
it.
And your only quote from it so far was prostitution.
Pro.
So I don't...
That's self-explanatory. That he breaks it down. He puts it up on the whiteboard.
So it's, imagine, it's a basketball movie.
Imagine the word prostitution's written up on the whiteboard. Pro puts a line after that. That's obvious. He's talking to a whole lot of hookers who are working out of a morgue. Right?
Oh, so it's not what I was thinking.
Working out of a morgue.
Working out of a
that's
morgue.
That's a curly one. Right. Hear that a lot.
Tits, well, that's self-explanatory.
Hey.
Two, that is you. Shun, to say no, to push it away. I don't want any more. Prostitution. That's he did this thing. If you see, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about.
Practice your layups.
Paul, it's not a basketball movie either. There was just a basketball scene at the start of it. Paul's in Boronia. Paul, do you remember the basketball scene at the start of Night Shift?
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, the two blokes there haven't seen it. Do yourself a favour. It is arguably one of the funniest films ever.
It's a great movie.
There's fantastic scenes all through it, but the scene in jail, when Winkler and Michael Keaton end up in jail, is one of the funniest things you'll ever see. Bob, you will absolutely cack yourself at the jail scene.
Okay.
I guarantee you'll laugh your head off, mate. It's absolute gold.
It's a good movie.
I'll take your word for it, Paul. I don't reckon I'm going to watch it. I'll be honest. I don't think I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to buy you. Have you got a DVD player at home?
Yeah.
I'm going to find the DVD, and that will be my gift to you for you gifting me Born to Run. And you'll
Is it on equal terms?
Well, not as profound as Born to Run.
Well, don't bother.
But you'll enjoy it.
No,
you'll
don't bother. Give me something as good.
No,
mate.
No, you'll enjoy it. Pete's. In fact, now they're all coming. Pete's on the road. He wants to have a chat about Night Shift as well. Pete, can you convince Dave Thornton and Bob Murphy that they need to watch this movie?
It is a funny film, but I've got to tell you guys, you know, the Fonz and Rocky were my two heroes growing up, and once I saw Henry Winkler as the nerd on Night Shift, it was Rocky only after that.
Yeah,
it's
but
a
he.
Very funny.
Yeah,
very
but he was
not a, not a big, not a big no, endorsement.
But he was the nerd that came good. He found the inner line, didn't he, Pete?
He did. Very, very funny, very funny film, let's put it that way. And he found a bit of chicken in the end, but he was no Fonz.
No, he wasn't the Fonz, that's for sure.
I mean, the Fonz doesn't eat prostitutes. Fonz just
got the leather jacket. The queer from the leather jacket.
He kicks a jukebox and the ladies turn up.
Pinky Tuscadero. Craig's on the
road.
Yeah. No, there was happy days.
Big L's.
Craig's not on the road. He's in McCrae. We've got Craig McCrae again.
Yeah.
Hello, mate.
How you going, Radar? Very... Mate, you're a genius. One of the funniest films ever.
Great movie.
What about a couple of lines? What about when Henry said to him, "We're nothing but pimps," and he goes, "We're not pimps. We're love brokers."
Love brokers.
and then he was complaining to Henry Winkler that I spilled my guts. I tell you my whole life story. You don't even show me a photo of your missus. And he gets out a photo of his desk of his missus. He goes, "Yeah, nice frame."
Hey, Dave, you can use some of this stuff.
When they get into the hearse, what's the car they drive? The hearse.
Yeah.
He gets into the hearse with the hearse driver, who's a kid. He goes, "Hey, kid, do you like music?" Oh, shut up. I can't believe I'm telling this story. It's not even that funny on the retail, but it's a great movie. It deserves more than the 6.6.
I
couldn't be bothered. It was self-editing.
It died.
I've never been good at that. You should applaud me. 6.6 only on IMDb.
I don't trust that. It deserves more than that.
Daves, can you stick? You're sticking around. You're not allowed to go anywhere. We've got a lot to talk to you about. Dave Thornton's out.
Scratch the stuff off my diary.
Last Outsider for 2019. Gee whiz. Oh, we're back on here, boys. The red light's on. Dave Thornton's our special guest. He's our last Outsider for 2019. I hope the Outsiders return in 2020. I must admit, I've loved having all of them come on the show. We're coming up to the news in about 4 minutes, so we're going to, whether you like it or not, you're staying until after that.
Right.
But you can chip in here, and I don't know whether you've had enough time to think about this.
Mm.
After five, we're going to talk about what our coaches, our current day crop of coaches in the AFL would be if, in fact, they weren't AFL coaches.
In a parallel universe.
Yeah. Exactly. So we've already come up with, we're in dispute over Simon Goodwin. I think he'd be a commercial real estate agent. He thinks he'd be a butcher.
At front of, like, the boss butcher, you know, like front of house.
I was going to say, because you need the booming voice to be a butcher too. It needs to take over a room.
Yep. I don't see
know if he's got that.
I'm with you. I don't see that. He does quiet negotiation.
But the
stereotypical
real estate agent, describe that for me. It's sort of slick and a bit.
Simon Goodwin's got a bit of that about him. He'd wear a suit well. Anyway, let's not dive too deep into the dispute about that. We can get back into that after five. You being a Geelong man, Chris Scott's been your coach for quite some time now.
Yep.
What would Chris Scott be if, in fact, he wasn't an AFL coach in this parallel universe that we're discussing? Because I've got one.
Realistic for me is I see him and his brother, the Scott brothers, just simply being hitmen. I mean, that's just the grim look on their faces. Like, you feel there's an underbelly about the Scott brothers, you know, like it just feels right. It feels like there's a story behind that title.
So they'd have to have a front. They couldn't just, they could have their card. Brad and Chris, hitmen. They'd have to be sort of posing as something else, wouldn't they?
Oh, sure. There's a 24-hour florist you drop into.
Yeah, love the blokes.
Imagine seeing the Scott brothers working the front of a
florist. Yeah. No flowers.
No, like what's his
no
name?
No flowers.
Like Peter Postlethwaite in The Town.
Yes, The Town.
The Town, he and his Irish mate.
Yeah, that's right.
Scary blokes.
I did think about that.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you knock someone off, just gives you a stem of roses. You know what I mean? Like, with their heads cut off. It's a message that's been left by the Scott brothers.
Valentine's Day, closed.
So tell me whether I'm potentially close to the mark here, Dave. I had them, again, like you, tied together. That whatever one did, the other did with them.
Feels like it,
And as kind of maturing adults, they had their own range of an Australian version of Jackass videos that they did together.
Yeah.
You know, they sort of pushed the envelope and did crazy things with their crazy mates. And that was seen en masse by Americans. And they had a job offer given to them by a big film studio over in the States. And they became body doubles or stunt men over at a big movie studio in Hollywood.
So they're the ones getting hit. Like, it's not that far from what I was talking about.
That's exactly what that's right. They jump off roofs. They stand in front of cars. They get punched. When, you know, Mark Wahlberg needs a body double, you know, in comes Brad, you know, all that sort of stuff.
As twins, or do they just share the one job?
Well, the twins is a thing. You know, it's like, it's part of the selling point.
Well, like Tango and Cash, they do the stunts.
Like Tango and Cash weren't twins.
That is a long bow.
Yeah, they put one of them with a mullet, Kurt Russell.
Tango and Cash.
They put a Kurt Russell wig
on
Chris Scott. And they...
Yes.
They let him shoot the petrol tanker full of Bolivia's finest.
Yeah.
You know that? Remember that?
Running away from an exploding tanker.
So you haven't seen Night Shift, but you're experts in Tango and Cashew, basically. You can remember every scene.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
So disappointing. So very, very disappointing.
I love the backstory you've got for the Scott brothers.
I've thought about it far too much.
Like, yeah, the narrative's good.
Is there something, could that have been a possibility for them in an old...
pretty thin, I think.
I'm not backing away from that.
Well, you know what we should do? You know what somebody like you should do? You should do a documentary. You should do a 30-minute online or something for the ABC or something one day on the worst stunt doubles in movie history. Yeah, you see some really bad ones.
Oh, yeah.
Really bad ones.
I do always love... I saw one on Netflix about... what do you got? Dirty Dancing. You've got Ghostbusters. Just the behind the scenes and how it all came together.
The movies that shaped us.
The movies that shaped us.
I watched two of them.
Have you seen a Home Alone one?
Yes.
I'm sure would have. When they've got the stunt doubles, because they're falling over all the time.
Right.
You know, if you think about it in a Home Alone, they're tripping over, they're getting irons thrown at their face and whatever. But I always love the kid ones.
Yeah, the kid one, I was thinking Home Alone's
spooky.
Hilarious.
You know, you've got some...
it's kid off. Body double.
Well, yeah, you've got some Romanian little person who's 4'8".
Kevin McAllister, honestly, on the flying fox.
Oh, no.
It's Robert Scott in a 10-year-old's clothes.
Think about
it's
kind of Daniel
that's
with his
adult.
Helmet off.
That's an adult.
Think about the parent. I know you're talking about like grown people who haven't grown very big, but imagine if you actually are a parent who bowls their kid up to a studio and goes, like you got a 6-year-old kid, and you go, if you need a kid to be a body double,
out of a tree.
You can use my kid.
To be honest, I know the authorities will come around if I hit him, but if you want to and we get paid for it.
That is a very ordinary parent. We need to get to Hobbsy on that note. Dave Thorne's in the studio. People are enjoying diving into the possibilities of coaches living alternate existences.
In parallel universes.
Matt, Kenneth Hinkley would be running a budget motel in regional Victoria. On the reception desk, answering phones, cleaning the pool, delivering the breakfast. And always up for a chat with the grey nomads, offering words of wisdom like, you get what you deserve. Cheers, Matt.
Is that words of wisdom?
You get what you deserve.
Can you imagine Kenny Hinkley going, we got the Continental in the morning. If you want to try it, it's just a bit of jam, different and marmalade and toast you have to put in your own toaster. That's what you'd have at the Best Western, the Hinkley Best Western.
Caroma toilet.
Those little sachets of that... The silver foiled butter that you only ever got in regional Victorian roadside motels.
The flashing alarm clock.
Oh, terrible.
And you'd have that, you know, like the shower is about half an inch from, oh, that's really cold. So that's burning all of my skin
laser. Off. I can't quite, in my notes, I can't quite pin Ken Hinkley down role. But
that's
something a bit more sort of, a bit more... Not surly, but a bit...
Yeah, a bit unfulfilled. Hasn't quite reached the heights that he was hoping to.
Just a bit.
Well, I'm very close to Matt. I had him as a general manager of about a third-tier golf club somewhere. Just struggling to make ends meet. You know, always having trouble. The course is not quite what he wants. He hasn't got the money to spend on it.
Greens have been chopped up again.
Yeah.
The young kids have been driving the carts too fast.
Yep. Yeah. There's always someone complaining and he can't be bothered listening to it anymore.
Storming up the practice fairway. Get off the course.
I don't know why I say, get on, Ken's not listening. Hey, Dave, it's almost Christmas. Yes, I'm not sure you're aware of that fact, but it's next week.
Apparently. Yeah.
6 days away, in fact. Have you got any... I know Clarkie's issued you with a challenge. 5 tips for family Christmas. Have you come up with any? All 5, in fact?
There does need to be at least some rules. Just... etiquette, you know, just because you're getting people in your world, you know, that like in-laws.
Tension building.
Yeah, there is a lot of that. So you need to, I mean.
Tired parents, relatives.
Yes, correct.
Too many people in the one house.
Yeah.
Trouble.
And so there needs to be certain rules. I think things, like I started with the cracker. If you're opening up the crackers. If someone legitimately laughs, they're out the door. Like if you, you know, there's always that, oh, that's actually, it's not, none of it's good.
The bonbon joke.
The bonbon joke.
Yeah, right,
you'd laugh. I do. Because I do.
Do you put the hat on?
Some of them.
Do we all put the hat on?
Yep.
Well, that's
paper hat?
That I believe you're all in. Everyone wears the paper crown. Don't pull this. You know, your auntie's like, I can't, my hair. Oh, what?
Oh, your hair.
It's Christmas Day.
Exactly.
What are you going to pick up here? What are you doing?
You've got a flat top, Cecil.
Come on. Is that Blue Natural?
So just put the goddamn paper crown on.
I agree.
Shut up.
Keep the paper crown.
Have another piece of crackling.
Keep it on.
Come on.
Just keep it on. Right. How hard is it? What about you guys? Have you got rules? Have you got
more?
No, I've got expectations.
We have guiding principles.
No, when I say I mean there are routines that I expect to be upheld.
It feels like Festivus, you know, from Seinfeld.
Isn't it role play?
By 4:20, Neil's on the couch having a snooze.
Yes.
And Neil's on the couch. Shoes are off.
Yes.
And it's where we have it. We have it at Lucy and Andy's place, sister-in-law. And they got the big open back of their house. And the couch is right next to the dining table. So Neil's snoring. It's in the middle of everyone. That'll happen.
That's standard.
Oh,
that's...
yeah, that'll happen.
What role do you play Christmas Day, Andy?
I'm very much who wants another one.
All
right. I'll go
booze,
get him.
Booze hound.
On the booze hound. I'm fairly low-key on Christmas Day.
What's your role, Dave? Do you fulfil any... Like, is there in every year, do you sort of, Dave's on his little job there? He's cutting up the turkey or whatever?
I do cut up the meats a bit. But then I'm the same with Andy. And the only thing is, I am distinctly the heaviest drinker in my family. Like, amongst my friends, I'd be middling at best. But in my family, they're not teetotalers, but they just only will have one and that'll do. And I'm at the end of it with my Shiraz face, just that red... You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That's like, a bad look.
Like I'm reprising the role of the Joker, just smeared all over my face. It's 4 in the afternoon. I'm letting everyone know what I think.
The only one singing karaoke. Not a good look for you.
He's jumping in.
Yeah. How many plates will you have? Like, do you, when you go back for seconds,
yeah.
Are you discreet or do you just fill it up again?
No, fill it up again.
Yeah, fill it up again.
Please.
Yeah.
We're not here. It's family. Like, what are you? You can't watch a P's and Q's there, can you?
No niceties.
And I agree with you, Andy. Like, it's snooze time in the afternoon. Mm. Wake up hopefully in time for National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
That's just seeing
Chevy work that bobsled that he's oiled up straight down the slope. I love a bit of that.
Are there Murphy rules that need to be upheld?
No, we go more into role where you sort of sit. I'm seafood guy.
Are you?
Yeah. So seafood found its way into the Thornton. We're not into the seafood quite yet.
Not heavily.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah, prawn peeling is, it's good. It's good. The kids sort of, so I sat there and it's a, don't come into my zone, I'm peeling prawns.
Do you let them pull the poo canal out?
No, that's part of the job.
Yeah, okay. Right.
I do that. I don't tell the kids what it is either.
The kids.
Yeah, you don't want to outsource that. Nah. Jeez, that's the prime job.
Yeah, no. Nah. Can't be doing that.
But hey, is it fresh though? Because you guys are from Gippsland. Like, is that?
No, well, it's a nice segue into product placement. No, Conway's in Footscray. Best seafood in town.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, no, they're great. You should get out there, Andy.
Oh, it's a bit. I don't cross the river that often, but do you pay for that or is that?
Yes, yeah. Of course we do.
We just eat the Bataki hams.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You pay for it in mentions. That's how you pay for it.
How the cat's going to go in 2020?
Mate, isn't it? Not the season that just passed, the one before that, obviously. We did that, you know, reviewed everything from top to bottom, and it looked like it was going great guns at the start of the season. But then it's that finals thing. We get to finals time, the wheels start to fall off. We obviously need a ruckman. And I think Gary Rowan was one that people kind of, they didn't talk about as much, but he was huge at the start of the year for us.
He's going well, wasn't
he? Gary Abbott was just feeding it down his throat. He was real, he was a target up front. And then it wasn't working like that towards the end of the season. I now get really worried about our starts. We just get off to blinders the last few seasons. And then after the break, it's like, oh, God, this train is really slowing down.
It feels like the cliff, you're perpetually towing the cliff. And I know the last couple of years, it feels like John's been getting closer to the edge, but they just find a way of avoiding falling off. They are remarkably competitive footy team.
Yeah, and I also because the older players, they're moving and shifting around to make space for some of the younger guys, you know what I mean? Mm. Like put Mitch Duncan in the middle and Gary Ablett moves the forward and so they're making compromises for each other, but it's just not working out in September.
So bullish enough without thinking they can win the flag? Is that kind of where you're at? There or thereabouts, as they say?
It's funny that shadow of when you're growing up and how you view your club, despite the purple patch that we had from 07 to 11 and that, you still it creeps back. You start going, oh, we're losing it again. We're losing it the last post. It just starts to...
The self-perpetuating.
Yeah. It starts to come over you like a cloud. You're just like, oh no, this is happening again. But we just... Who was it? We picked up, what's his name from Adelaide? Jenkins?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
That'd be good. Yeah. I reckon that'd be great.
Yeah, he'll do something.
Mm. So Danger worked his magic there and got him over. I think that's great.
Yeah. Didn't cost much either.
Nah, but then, because Harry's retired, is he not? Harry Taylor?
No, he's going around again. He's going to stay around. Yeah.
Harry just swerved.
Yeah. This is how we got broke to him. Oh, jeez.
Merry Christmas, Thorno.
Thanks. You'll have to come back next year if you wish. We'll extend the invitations up to you to say yes or no.
Well, mate, I can watch Night Shifts. Is it Night Shifts?
Please do.
Please do. I'll do
Please
that.
Please do.
Get my needlework up to scratch.
Vote positively for it on IMDb. We need to get the rating for Night Shift up over 7, I reckon. Thanks for coming in. Have a great Christmas.
This is the show that makes a difference.
Dave Thornton, our last outsider for 2019. Get on the line for what happened next. If you're keen to talk about Alex Rance, we're here for you, Tiger fans. 1-300-736-736. We'll